And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr., and you're listening to Prophecy Q&A Live. I'm coming to you live from our offices in San Antonio, Texas. Great to be back with you again this week. Well, I'm fresh off of our three-day conference that we had in Ashland, Kansas, our citywide revival tent meeting. Oh, I got a great story to tell you about a tent meeting, but the wonderful people in Ashland, Kansas. What a great time that we had there. Pastor Rick Branson and his wife Krista, their hospitality of letting me stay in their home and be a part of their church family. You know, they put together an alliance while putting together this revival meeting. It was at the behest of some encouragement from ladies in their church that were studying Dad's book, Revelation of Chronology. Millie Fudge and Georgian and the pastor's wife and several others that were there. And Bill and Georgian had actually been on a trip with us to Israel in 2005. But as we were there, they put together an alliance of all the churches in the community. And this was my first time to Western Kansas. And I understand there's a difference between Eastern and Western Kansas. I learned all those things on this trip while I was there in Ashland. They built a big tent. You know, it's interesting. One of the stories that was told by one of the men of the church as they were putting up this tent, and they rented the tent, and the company came and was putting up the tent. So the worker said, "So you're doing a revival?" And the man said, "Yes." "A tent revival?" "Yes." "With snakes and everything?" I'm telling you, that's a great story, with snakes and everything. Well, we didn't handle snakes, but we had a great time, great ministry there doing with the tent revival. The church came together with all the other churches in the city and put it on, and everybody had a part. The praise and worship band. Friday night, we had a great country western singer that came in, and along with my teaching and his concert. And then Saturday, we had a great meeting, and they wanted me to teach Bible prophecy and just reporting that we had a great time. I remember last week I told you about we were going to do this. Great response from the community, from the churches, from those that got saved, and an outpouring of love and supporting our ministry while we were there, and looking forward to going back there. They want to do a biblical meal. You know, I do every Easter, and to some of you that might be listening and finding out more about my ministry, I teach Bible prophecy like Dad does, I do at Easter time, I do what we call a biblical meal. It's a Seder meal. We talk about the meal that Jesus observed with his disciples. It's a first century biblical meal. And we look at the mind of what was in Christ that evening from the scriptures and what was in the mind of the disciples that evening and the institution of the Lord's Supper. But it's a great time, and they're looking forward to putting one together next year, and we'll go back and do that. And a great time, great people of Ashland, Kansas, great community, ranchers, farmers, all kinds of people that came out, and good support. So I want to thank them and thank them for a great opportunity to minister to them, and looking forward to the future. Well, we're looking forward to the time that we're going to have in Chattanooga, the end of May. We're going to be doing a prophecy conference. Memorial starts actually Memorial Day weekend, and we'll go following that week. Dad will be teaching on the feast, the holidays of God, the feast, and then Dave James will be coming in. He'll be teaching dispensationalism. I'll be at the conference. As a matter of fact, we'll be doing a biblical meal one night during those sessions, and encourage you to come out. Go to our website, prophecytoday.com. You can find out about our prophecy conference that we're doing in Chattanooga, Tennessee, a beautiful town. A beautiful city, I should say. Very nice, very adaptable for bringing your families there, and the aquarium. The Tennessee River runs right through the town, and the downtown section they've really adapted to tourism and people coming in. And it's going to be a great time where we're all going to be together putting this on. If you can't make it, there's always the opportunity for you to watch it live, streaming on the web, the World Wide Web. We'll be streaming video so that you can watch it and be a part of that. And all those technical questions and everything, information about the Prophecy Conference is on our website, prophecytoday.com. A lot of interesting things are happening. We're having we're being very busy right now preparing for the year to come, as we're looking at our schedules, speaking schedules, both mine and Dad's, as we'll be traveling on the road and be traveling to Israel, be traveling overseas in our ministries that we do, both this summer, next fall. And this summer, my brother and I are looking forward to doing our ministry again, along with others, with Eric Murphy and Jimmy Compton. We work with Camp Monte using sports to present the gospel in the country of Montenegro, specifically the city of Nikšić, Montenegro. Maybe some of you are familiar and you've heard us talk about this in the past. It's a great opportunity to share the gospel message. You know, in Montenegro is part of the old Yugoslavia, the country of Yugoslavia that broke up. You'll remember some of the other countries that are involved with that: Bosnia, Herzegovina, Serbia, Croatia, and then Montenegro is one that is one of those states now that has been countries that has been put together. 880,000 people, a very small percentage, less than 1,000 Christians in the whole country, and it's a great place to witness. And there's a desire for the young people there to learn more about, because we have taken the time and made the effort to go there and to share the gospel message with them through and using sports, also, you know, helping them and something that they like. But then in return, they want to be a part of finding out what makes us go, what our lives are all about. I think it's a perfect venue for sharing the message, the gospel plan of salvation with these young people and furthering the gospel. And then in the fall, we'll be heading back to Romania to do a prophecy conference. This year, I'll be teaching the book of Daniel and at the conference in Romania. You remember last year, we were there and about 100 or so plus pastors, youth workers, ministers came and were a part of the conference that we had. We got snowed in last year. Hopefully we'll be doing it earlier this year. We won't run into that problem, but it's a great time of fellowship and ministering in other churches while we were there, that God opens up that door and teaching eschatology. You know, I always tell folks there are so many aspects and parts to the body of Christ, and our particular area where we minister is teaching Bible eschatology, the study of the end times, and Bible prophecy, helping the body of Christ to understand more where we are and the times in which we're living through reading God's word and understanding that. And that's what we do in our ministry, prophecytoday.com, keeping our eyes on what's happening around the world on a daily basis. Make sure, if you don't already, go to our website, take a look at the top 10 news stories every single day that we think that pertains to events that are happening around the world, and how they're setting up prophetic events in the future. Remember, over 1,000 prophecies in the Bible, 500 of those prophecies have already been fulfilled, pertaining to the first coming of Christ and his ministry. And so those 500 have been fulfilled exactly as they were prophesied. Every I dotted, every T crossed, everything's been fulfilled. And those 500 remaining prophecies that are going to take place, it gives me the confidence to know that since those first 500 were fulfilled exactly, the second 500 will be fulfilled exactly as God says that they, in his word, how they're going to take place. And so that helps us to stay, keep going, to do the work, to do what we're supposed to do, and it motivates us to live a pure, productive, holy life in an unholy world. And it helps us to be a part, do our part in evangelism. evangelizing the world, telling those folks about the imminent return, the rapture. By the way, those 500 remaining prophecies that need to be fulfilled, not a single prophecy needs to be fulfilled before the rapture of the church takes place. That's the next thing on God's calendar of events. As a matter of fact, the only thing that needs to happen is that evangelization, evangelizing the world, telling others about Jesus Christ, giving them the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and what that does for those people that believe in that death, burial, and resurrection, and as they turn their lives over to Christ as their Redeemer, as their Savior, as their Messiah, and as they're looking forward and to living a new life and eternity with Him, and that whole process and what goes along with it. So, continue to pray for us as our as both my father and I and my brother, as we're involved in the ministry, and in all the rest of our staff back in Chattanooga, Tennessee, as they're involved in the internet and the radio, the video productions that we do, the fulfillment, sending out the DVDs and the CDs, the audio series, the books. Brand new book out, brand new book of Daniel that we have just completed. That's now available. We have three of the major prophetic books in God's Word. Our first one was Revelation, a Chronology. Well, I'll take that back. Our first one was Sound the Trumpets that Dad did, and which essentially is the four major trends of Bible prophecy. And then we did the book of Revelation, a Chronology, the book of Ezekiel, and our latest one, the book of Daniel. As they're great, easy to read, easy to understand. You know, sometimes people want to make Bible prophecy so complicated, but really it's very easy to understand. And all the prophecies that are left to be fulfilled, they're going to happen after the rapture of the church and between the next three main events that are going to take place on God's calendar: the rapture, the revelation of Jesus Christ or the return, and then the great white throne judgment. And all of those prophecies will take place during those time periods. And so we're looking forward to the rapture of the church taking place at any moment. But until then, until it does happen, we are living our lives as Christ would want us to live, to be more Christ-like on this earth, and to evangelize and tell others, and really in all that we do, to bring glory and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, this is a program about prophecy Q&A, and we're going to get to some of those questions now this week, and we'll take a look and understand and try to help you out with some of your questions. We get a question that comes in from Diane Tippins. She says, I have a question I've seen or heard addressed. Will Enoch and Elijah be born again, or will they come back to earth as adults, the same age that they left the earth? And this has to do pertaining to a devotional that we do that was on Genesis 5:24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So this Bible devotion is talking about Enoch what his where he comes in God's Word. Well, specifically referring to Genesis chapter 5, which was a chapter of genealogies. This is a genealogy from Adam at the time of creation all the way to Noah, just before the flood. And there are many truths that can be learned from a study of Genesis chapter 5. For one, that men do die. The passage repeats over and over again that so-and-so lived for so many years and he died. And this is the case except for one man, and that was Enoch in verses 18 to 24. Enoch is the only one of two men that have lived on the earth and have never died. Enoch is one, and the other is Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. This has a great significance in the end times. Revelation chapter 11 tells us verses 3 to 12. As a matter of fact, let's take a look at what that says. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all the plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. That's what it's a reference to the city of Jerusalem, where our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their bodies to be put in graves. And as in essence, their bodies will lay in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them. These two men are going to come and preach in the city of Jerusalem for 3.5 years. The first 3.5 years, we believe, of the tribulation period. As a result of their preaching, 144,000, that's 12,000 of the 12 tribes of Israel, will come to know Christ as their true Messiah. And they will be evangelists that will travel the earth. And that's when, according to Matthew chapter 24, that the whole world will hear the gospel of the kingdom. These two witnesses are going to be killed and lay in the streets of Jerusalem. Up until that point in time, they have caused so much, devastation on the earth, if you want to use that word, because of their prophecies, that as people try to kill them, they will be killed in the same manner. But it's only the beast that's led out of the bottomless pit that will make war against them and eventually kill them. They'll lie in the streets for 3.5 days, and then they'll be miraculously raised from the dead. Verse 11 of Revelation chapter 11, and after 3 days, 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered them, and they stood upon their feet, and a great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither, and they ascend up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them, and they watched all of this take place. So this is a prophecy that's talked about these two men in the book of Revelation chapter 11. The two witnesses that will preach will be there during the tribulation period. They will be headquartered in the city of Jerusalem on the Temple Mount, and will have results, the salvation of many that hear the gospel of the kingdom and come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We believe that these two witnesses are Elijah and Enoch, the only two men that have never died. That's why it's so important, that passage, those words in Scripture about them being carried up into the heavens by God, and must do so because of Hebrews 9:27. Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this comes the judgment. These are the only two men in history that haven't died. I know that some think that Moses might be one because of some of the powers that these two men will have, turning the water into blood, as it says in Revelation. That's been a much debated topic as to who these two men were, but you'll see. And again, it's anybody's guess. It might not be Elijah and Enoch. These are sanctified speculation, I guess you would call it. We're guessing from Scripture, but if we had to say who we thought they were, it would be Elijah and Enoch. Elijah to the Jewish people and Enoch to the Gentiles. Remember, Enoch lived in the days of the first 2,000 years of human history where there were only Gentiles on the earth. Elijah, of course, a prophet to the Jews, to the nation of Israel, and his stories that were told about his ministry and his days of prophesying on the earth to the nation of Israel. And so we believe that these two men will go to the Jews and the Gentiles that are still living on the earth. Of course, not everybody will like the fact of what they're saying and what they're doing, and they will be hated. But it's a question, and Diane's question is, will they be born again as babies? No, Diane, I believe that they will come back as they were carried up into the heavens, and they will appear on the streets of Jerusalem, which will be an unbelievable... I mean, can you imagine It's hard to depict or to describe what's going to take place during this tribulation period. Now, the world is in total chaos after the rapture of the church takes place, setting up the scene for a man to come onto the scene to kind of bring control and order to the world that's devastated, that man being the Antichrist. That's talked about in Revelation chapter 6. We believe that the war of Gog and Magog will take place, which when the second horse is unleashed, the man on a red horse, that's the battle that's talked about in Ezekiel 38, the nations that are aligning right now, the Islamic nations that are aligning right now as they're coming against Israel, saying that Israel must be wiped off the face of the earth. Ezekiel 38 says the Lord puts a hook in their jaws and brings them to the city of Jerusalem to essentially wipe them out. And we get the description of that prophecy in Ezekiel 39. So all of this is taking place. The judgments are being unleashed on the earth. These two witnesses will be in the streets of Jerusalem as they're building the temple, the third temple that will stand in the city of Jerusalem that the Antichrist allows the Jews to build, to reconstruct. By the way, that temple is being, all the preparations are being done right this very moment. We've done some documentaries on it. You follow us on our weekend radio broadcast, you'll hear all about the preparations that are being done for the rebuilding of the third temple in the city of Jerusalem. And that's not Ezekiel's temple that Ezekiel talks about in the latter chapters, 42 to 48 of the book of Ezekiel, the restoration of the temple and its practices. That temple will stand in the millennial kingdom. That's the temple that Jesus Christ will rule and reign in, where he sits on his throne in the city of Jerusalem. His holy mountain, he calls it, 18 times in God's word. That's where Christ will rule and reign from. But that's Ezekiel's temple. That's actually the fourth temple that's built. This next temple will be in the city of Jerusalem, has no significance, no holy significance. It's only there. We keep an eye on what's taking place there. We're not worshiping that temple. We're not even worshiping everything that's being done as far as the bringing back of the menorah and the mitzrach, that the utensil that's used for holding the blood of the sacrifices. We're not, you know, the table of showbread that's been rebuilt. I mean, you can go and see these items, the items of the priestly garments. Everything that's being done, they have no holy significance whatsoever. It's to show us how close we are to the rapture of the church, because this temple is built during the tribulation period. This temple at the midway point of the tribulation is where the Antichrist will walk into and desecrate this temple, as it's talked about in Daniel chapter 9 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says that Matthew 24, when you see the abomination of desolation that takes place, that's talked of by the prophet Daniel. That's what Christ said. Well, you know, this is, again, these are evidences to give us, to help us to understand the times in which we're living. So, Diane, thank you for your question. I used your question to kind of jump off of, but I do think that Elijah and Enoch will appear in the streets of Jerusalem as they were when they left, and they will be preaching, and a lot of things will be happening to people that hear them preach, some positive, mostly negative. And so that's a great question. Thank you, Diane, for sending that in and for being a part of our Prophecy Q&A program. Let's look at some other questions that have come in. This question comes from Damian Aragon, and it's a question. It's not a prophecy question. He says, if Jimmy is so sure of the pre-trib view, and yes, we understand that there are many people that have different views out there. Again, go to God's word. But he says, if Jimmy is so sure of the pre-trib view, then why doesn't he debate Alan Kirshner and Charles Cooper? Well, we're not interested in debates. I'm sure that Alan Kirshner and Charles Cooper are intelligent men. They've read God's word. They understand it. But we could debate from our point of view. Why get involved? Let's just be busy about God's word. It says, this is not something to divide over, but it is important to give information to the Christian flock. Well, I'm not sure which side you appear on, Damien, but we have presented our side. We don't need to get into a debate. I've seen debates. I was at the debate that that a friend of ours, Mark Hitchcock, who is a pastor out of, I believe, Kansas, and Mark Hitchcock, Hank Hennegraaff had. You know, it really accomplishes nothing because you're not going to really change either side. Let's just be about presenting on a daily basis and even on a weekend basis or a daily on our news programs, our website, everything that we do, we present our side. If you're interested in taking a look or finding out what we believe, go to God's Word. But I know that Alan and Charles have studied a long time, and they feel strongly about their views. So I'm not sure how much it would accomplish. I think it's it could be something that really you could almost waste your time and trying to do those things and be a part of debates. And just number one, we need to be involved in evangelism. And we know that the time is short. I'm not sure what those two guys believe, Damien, but I know and I expect the Lord to return at any moment. The rapture of the church should take place as an imminent event that could take place at any moment. And so I'm trying to be prepared and to be busy about doing that as opposed to being sidetracked and getting into debates and trying to educate people that feel like they're already educated. Anyway, enough said on that. Jane Clark sends in a commendation for us. Just finished listening to the CDs of the teachings at Word of Life in Florida. Each year, Dad goes to the camps in New York, the organization Word of Life, founded by Jack Wertzen. And she says she enjoyed those from the time that he spent at Word of Life Florida, enjoyed also very much, noted all the scriptures mentioned so I can study them further. Thank you. May God bless you and the ministry. Jane Clark. Thank you, Jane, for that. You know, as I've talked to people that are in our new program that we have instituted, it's the Prophetic Army of Senior Saints, and we've also developed a new one for homeschool students that are involved in studying God's Word. And all of this starts with our six sessions that we have, the basics to understanding Bible prophecy, the four major trends of Bible prophecy, the books of Revelation, Ezekiel, and Daniel. You could study all of those online, take the courses, pass the test. And I know that people are putting together workbooks. They're underlining these scriptures so that they are aware of what it says in the scriptures and what and they are now being able to take that information and take it move forward and study God's Word and be able to teach it in your Sunday school classes, to youth groups, to your families, to your grandchildren, and churches. That's what we want to do. This is not information that's just exclusively to us, and it doesn't make us the experts on the. It's just something that we, in the body of Christ, that we have chosen to focus on and work with in scriptures. Kurt Minson sends in a question. He says, I find myself thinking about Jimmy Jr.'s comment that the United States is not found in scripture when end time events get rolling full steam. I sense a hopelessness within me that the re-election of President Obama confirms this. Still, I know the Bible mentioned God changing his mind. I forget the scripture reference, but it makes me wonder if God would prolong the second coming if we Americans would seek him. I don't think my fatalistic attitude honors him, yet my heart says that he is in control, even if that means the decline of America. Thank you, Kurt, for sending that in. And as you study, as you take a look at Bible prophecy, we don't see the United States in Bible prophecy, except for the fact that in Zechariah chapter 12 and 14, we see the Antichrist gathers all nations of the world to the city of Jerusalem to take part in his plan to destroy the Jewish people and God's holy city. So that's what we're talking about. I understand what you're talking about, Kurt. And I think sometimes we forget the fact that the only thing that would help America is that we. And we need to. I've had this conversation with a lot of people, churches all over America that we go to. You know, we're under much more attack. I think we're going to suffer much more persecution. I think it's the church is going to suffer a lot of persecution, and that's going to weed out and purify the church in this process. Remember, there's only one thing that needs to happen before the rapture of the church takes place, and that is when we take you to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, where it talks about, as a matter of fact, let's read that. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. But, verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, referring back to verse 10. Nevertheless, we, according to his promises, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Again, there's nothing left to be done. God's not willing that any should perish. He wants us to evangelize, to tell the world. One of these days when that last person comes to know, and no one knows when that will be, he's holding the gates of heaven open for people to come to him. But at a certain point, he's going to have to institute and start his game plan for the final days, the rapture of the church, and then the tribulation period, the return of Jesus Christ to the Mount of Olives, the thousand-year period of time, the millennial period, the great white throne judgment, and then a new heaven and a new earth and eternity future. That's God's game plan for the end times. And so he's holding the doors open of heaven for people to repent. Kurt, I do believe, and I know the verse that you're looking for, if my people, 1 Chronicles chapter 7, if my people, which are called by my name. Well, he's talking to the Jewish people at that point in time, but we can refer to that and the spiritual application. That's a technical interpretation, but the spiritual application is that, yes, if my people, those people, his children, if we're called by his, you know, then will he heal the land? Well, again, just remember the technical interpretation, and you're looking at the spiritual application of that as applying it to the United States. It's a difficult. No one wants to see the decline of the United States. I think if the Lord were tarry for another 20 years, if the rapture didn't take place for another 20 years, which I can't see it taking that long to happen, I think it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen today, within the next few minutes, and I look forward to that rapture taking place. That's what keeps me living pure and productive. But should the Lord tarry for the next 20 years, I think we would even see America would look so different. Would it even be called America again? It's declining so at a rapid pace right now. I think the agenda of certain groups of people and the agenda of our government and our world leaders, we're made to look as a laughingstock. We have churches in America. We have Christians in America that are changing their message because they want to fit in. They don't like being made fun of. It's difficult to stand by principles and live by them. So what we dumb those principles down and so that we look more like the world and we don't come under that persecution. But I do think in the end times that we're going to see the times in which we're living, I do think that we're going to see persecution for living for the Lord and for living and being a part of the body of Christ. So, Kurt, I know it's a tough thing. It's not a fatalistic attitude. I think that, and for the world, I think if you start thinking, and I hate to use this term, but we need to think of God's message, not just for America, but it's for the whole world. It's a global thinking that we need to take this message. We have stopped the process of sending out missionaries. How many of us support missionaries in our daily work? How many support ministries that are carrying forth that message? We are starting to look more about looking inward. Our churches are teaching us to look inward, not outward anymore. We're not taking the message to the world. We're learning how to cook. We're learning how to, you know, get physically healthy. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you replace the message that we are to take to the world and we stop doing that and we start looking, you know, to placate ourselves, and I do think that, yes, there is a problem there. Kurt, thanks for your question. Keep up your attitude, and we can only do, one person can do what he can do, and maybe, and that will change others. And we are to look forward to taking the gospel message and going out and in our neighborhoods, to the houses next door, across the street, around the corner, in the city, and then to the suburbs, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I would take that commandment literally, and let's do our part in doing that. Thank you, Kurt, for that question that came in. A message from Katie Page. Just received an article from Compass International from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Bill Perkins, and he claims one of the two witnesses, the Apostle John, giving Revelation 10:11 and John 21 as references. Ever heard of this? I have not, Katie, and I don't know that Dad has either. It's probably another theory. Again, you know, none of us know. We're only sanctified speculation. We're guessing. That's another way of saying we're guessing as to who these people will be. But we do know that there will be two witnesses. Doesn't matter who they are. We know that there will be two witnesses. Witnesses, people that witness events that took place. There's always two. There are two men in white apparel. As Christ ascended into the heavenlies, there were two men at the garden tomb. So you go back through history. I think those men were witnesses that witnessed the glory of God, that witnessed these events taking place, and they will have the authority to preach. But good thought. I'll take a look at that future and see if we can answer that question in the future. Mr. DeYoung, I've been studying your tapes for about 3 years now, and I do have an interesting question. In accordance with Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Revelation, a new earth, new Jerusalem, and new heaven will be created. Would you consider heaven to be created again because of the contamination of Satan's presence in the third heaven, accusing the brethren daily? Exactly right, Joel. Joel sends that in, and Joel, you're exactly right. That's what we believe. That's why God has to destroy the heaven, because Satan does have access. He is the accuser of the brethren, and that is exactly right. That's what we believe, Joel. So thank you for sending that in to us. We appreciate your thoughts and for studying our material. But again, this is a thought that you've come up with on your own, and it is correct. And we thank you for sending that in, letting us know that's being done, Joel. Question comes in from David Torres. Brother Jimmy, on this Saturday's program, expressed his astonishment regarding Israel, inviting Dr. Stephen Hawking to speak. I'm shocked also. What are your views regarding Liberty Christian College? I do believe Liberty is a university now, inviting a Mormon presidential candidate, Mitt Romney, to give the commencement speech to one of their graduating classes in 2012. Well, Brother David, that's one of those questions, black and white. I wouldn't have asked Mitt Romney to come. He's part of the Mormon religion. That's his religion. Mormonism is not part of Christianity. I think Mitt Romney, as a president, and also Glenn Beck, who is a Mormon. I think both of these men have their own agendas, and they do believe in the Mormon religion, which I believe is cultic. I don't know that was the wisest choice, but it's not our position to comment on another organization and what they're doing. We wouldn't have done it, so we wouldn't be a part of it. But you can certainly understand. It's not the first time that unsaved person has gone to give a graduating commencement speech, but that's a difficult question, and one that we'll deserve the right to let Jerry Jr. and Jonathan make those decisions for Liberty University, and we worry about the decisions for Prophecy Today. Our last question comes, I would request, and this is from David Heimer, I would request that you submit prayer to the Lord on my behalf that he grant me favor in finding employment so that I might pay rent and bills and have enough to give to the Lord. And he says he's homeless and needs the Lord's favor and aid to rise up out of this condition. Thank you very much, and please pass the word along to all that you know concerning this, please. Yes, David, we'll keep you in prayer. In fact, we're going to do that to finish out our program today. But we also want to pray for all of those. This is a very difficult time. You know, I was preaching the other day and talking about the blessed hope of the rapture of the church that's coming, the return. We have the blessed hope in us. I don't know how the world makes it without someone to turn to. You know, David, and all of you that don't or that are looking for an employment, don't have a job right now, or having difficulty with your families, I know that's so very tough. And the Lord's not caught unaware of this situation. He's not caught off guard. He's very much aware. He's the one that cares about us. If he cares about the sparrow, if he cares about the foxes that in the field, he cares about us. If he cares about the flower, that's what Christ said. He cares about us. He wants us. We are his children. Of course, he is concerned about how we live our lives and what we're going through on a daily basis. David, we'll pray for your situation and all of those. Lord, we bring before you David and, of course, countless others that are out there that might be looking for employment, a job. They're trying to provide for their family. They're trying to provide and to give to you. Lord, there are principles in God's word and your word and the way that you communicate with us on how to live our lives, how to be in favor and with you, and that you do care for us. You're aware of what we're doing. Lord, we pray for David, and we pray for those that are looking for those things. We know that you are the provider, that you will look after us, that you will take care of our needs. Not our wants, but you will take care of everything that we have need of. In Philippians chapter 4, you say that. And so, Lord, we turn to you and we ask on behalf of David. But may he continue to look to you and remember that you do care for him and that you do care for all. Lord, be with us now as we keep looking forward to the rapture of the church taking place at any moment. All these things that we've talked about, Lord. And we'll receive a crown for that, looking for that blessed appearing in the heavenlies. Thank you, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. We look forward to joining you again next week. And this has been Prophecy Q&A, again, answering your questions. Thank you so many that have sent in. We'll get to those questions. But, you know, after studying everything that we're looking at, talking about these things, we do look on a daily basis that we are talking about information that's about events that's going to take place in the future after the rapture of the church. Seeing how close we are to those events, how much closer are we to the rapture of the church, which could happen at any moment? Having said all of that, there's nothing else for me left to say except let's keep looking up until...